Welcome to the tax update for the week beginning 30th September. The update is designed to help busy professionals keep abreast of developments in the tax field within the UK and takes 5 minutes of your time to listen to the presentation. And if anything interests you, you can then click on to the notes which accompany this presentation, and if further research is appropriate, follow the links within those notes. The notes contain a useful summary of what's been covered today, and we begin by looking at whether a company could deduct sponsorship payments. In this case, it was a rugby football club, and that rugby football club really depended upon the contribution being made by Interfish Limited to keep going and to build a more successful rugby team. So there was a duality of purpose to the sponsorship payments being made by Interfish Limited to Plymouth Rugby Team. And that duality of purpose is incompatible with the legislative requirement that the expenditure must be wholly and exclusively for the purposes of the payer's trade. So whilst Interfish Limited could benefit from sponsoring the rugby club and gain advertising, it had a mixed motive, and the duality of purpose was fatal to getting a tax deduction, a harsh decision. And it's followed by GR Solutions Limited, which makes pains in the decision to say this was not a tax avoidance scheme. And yet what happened was that Mr. Hall bought a BMW and then sold to his company a 90% share of the car, retaining 10% ownership for his own use and reflecting his private use. And he paid 10% of the running expenses. So he said that he wasn't having a car made available to him by his employer, because he'd actually got the car initially by himself. And he was entitled, as a result of his share of the ownership, to use it as he wished. That's not how the courts ruled. They said, irrespective of the means by which the car was acquired, when each time he used the car privately, he was able to so do because it was made available to him by his employer, who had a 90% share in the car. I think this is actually a very unjust decision, and there's no doubt that the car benefits legislation found in section 114 to 118 has been drafted in a way that deems anything made available by an employer to be by way of a benefit and therefore assessable. And in this case, he was assessed on the car benefit, creating a car and fuel benefit for 1 year of $19,700. It just shows that in tax, if you're going to plan to get it right, then make sure you do so. And in this case, sadly, he failed in his objective and is faced with a large tax bill. This is just a gentle reminder that with effect from the 1st of October, the national minimum wage will change, going up to £6.31 a week, which over a 37.5-hour week would work out at an annual salary of £12,304. Anything less than that for somebody who's 21 and over, and you're breaking the national minimum wage legislation, and HMRC say they will enforce it. HMRC has also published its performance report for the period to March 2013, and it makes good reading, but a lot of it spin. I think very tellingly, agents remain critical of the performance of HMRC, and AAT would welcome your thoughts. What's your experience and what do you think? If you've got time, please take a moment to read how HMRC pats itself in the back on how it's improving its performance. And quite rightly, it should improve its performance, because previously it just wasn't good enough. As I say, what do you think? Thanks very much for listening.